one last week, and point two this morning hour. We want all of that to come together in the local church to edify one another, build up. Now, we don't use hammers on each other, but it's a tool to remind us of a working together with regard to the whole ministry God has given us. And Lord willing, if we're still here next Sunday and the Lord hasn't come, will be that of talking about the evangelizing of the sinner. And so you'll be thinking about how you came to Christ, how you heard the word, how that all came about by God's great mercy and grace. So we examine the scriptures as we do regarding these three areas, and we'll give you a test next week, see if you remember the three E's: exalt, edify, evangelize, right? You got it memorized, right? Shake your head like this, or you know, at least make me feel good like you're remembering. So I know you do. Now, we are those that like to examine the scriptures. I had a great Sunday school class of examining the scriptures and back and forth and looking and thinking, because the Bible is written for us to think in that way and see how it all comes together and of God's marvelous grace and mercy. And so while it's nice, it's fun, it's good for us to sit down, read through one particular portion and think about it, maybe take some notes, meditate on it a little bit, but it is so valuable to begin to get in mind and think of, well, how it all puts together, connects together, and works together. And so we have that with regard to our thoughts this morning hour, things of the scriptures. As we examine them, we are realizing that the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, who is the life of the church, we want him to be the one to examine our lives, examine our church, and to teach us and convict us with regard to correctly being engaged in his work. Because no one exalts the Savior like the Holy Spirit does. And no one edifies believers like the Spirit of God. And no one evangelizes sinners like the Holy Spirit. And it all, of course, comes through his word and the working of it. And so our encouragement to folks is read the scriptures. Examine the scriptures and let the scriptures examine your heart. The reason most folks don't read the Bible is not because they can't sort of understand it. And so many times we think we've had to write many new translations that are very inaccurate translations. But the reason folks don't understand the scriptures is primarily they haven't read them. Or they heard that someone else said that someone said something about it, you know. Our encouragement is for folks to read the Bible for yourself. And as we talk about getting some Bibles together and some money to ship them off to Uruguay. By the way, what's the language there? Is that Spanish or not? Some other language. It is Spanish. I was trying to rethink this morning as the announcement said. I didn't quite remember. I forget more than I remember. Do you do that? To us as well, you know, having a Bible in hand that can be read readily, easily. I appreciate the Bibles at the dollar store, but you have to buy a magnifying glass with them to give to the people to read them. Now buy a good, easy to read Bible and have it ready to give to someone. And just encourage you. It had nothing to do with the message, I suppose, but that's right there, because it's the Word of God by the Spirit of God that does the work of God to bring about that which God has set up to be, yes, even the local church. So thinking down through that, it's always good to ask ourselves questions, to examine ourselves by way of the scriptures, and have the word of God to work in our hearts and minds. Someone said to me one time after a sermon, "I don't really like to come to church here." And I said, "Well, why not?" He said, "Because you always make me feel guilty." I said, "Well, I don't think I do." I said, "The message of the Bible, if it's working in your heart, making you feel guilty, it's God's great grace. He's working in your life. You need to work with regard to the scriptures and see what it has to say. Then get your life in line with the word of God." And so we do as well. As those who know Christ as Savior, we want our lives in line with the scriptures. So we ask a question, as we did last week. He said, how have we edified ourselves and other believers this week past? How are we going to in the week before us? What's our plan in this new year to edify one another in the church, which of course means to build up, encourage, strengthen, and we have to be strengthened ourselves so we can strengthen others and minister to them. So how have we done that this past week? You know, how are we going to do it this week? What's the plan with regard to that throughout the scripture? So just thinking on that, nothing new or spectacular here, but just a reminder of the word as it works in our hearts and lives and the use of it. So when you got your Bible open to Romans chapter 14, if you would look down there at verse 19, and just be reminded of this. Let me see where I'm at. Here we go, 19. He says, "Therefore, let us follow or pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may be built up, one may be edified." Put effort and energy into making plans of how we might build up, encourage another, things which make for peace and things which make maybe to edify one another. Keep that in mind, all right? Just go over a page, at least in my copy it is, chapter 15. 15, verse 1 and 2. It's the local church ministry. He's talking about the local church. He says, we then who are strong, we got something we ought to be doing. I ought to bear with the weaknesses, some translations read scruples, of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to building up or leading to edification. I have a job and a ministry and a task among us with regard to building up one another. The neighbor is whoever is closest to you right this moment, you know, to build up. We're not as good at it, I think, we're not as good at it as we think we are. I think we think oftentimes, "Oh, I'm pretty good at, you know, after all, I did make a cake 3 years ago for so-and-so. Or I did send them a card, you know, back sometime." And we might get several things in mind, but we need a reminder that when a building, an edifice has been built, and we've watched the building being built maybe on our road, our street, maybe the house we live in, we watched it being built or had something to do with the building of it. And we know the time it took and the process and the effort and the cost and the energy and all else we could say with regard to it. Then the house is finally done. It's finally built. And then we say, "There, I'll never have to do anything to this house again." Now, wouldn't that be nice? We know that a house is constantly in need of something. Replaced, fixed, redone, updated. Amazing what happens to a building. And with regard to our lives, we're in constant need of having our lives worked on by the Word of God. And then the constant need of working to help and minister in a gracious way to those that are around us. Indeed, a God-given responsibility. I'm not going to turn to it, but 1 Corinthians chapter 14 uses our word edify or build up several times, five, six, seven times in the chapter. And it has to do with regard to God and His great grace, given spiritual gifts to the church by the Holy Spirit to build up the church and encourage it. And the idea of the gifts, and he speaks particularly in that chapter about the use of the gift of tongues that was given at that time for the church and its ministry, and when we have the copy of the scriptures fully completed that God is going to give, no longer needed, so not in use today. But we're reminded there that the reason for gifts was not so someone could say they were more spiritual or in some way God had blessed them in some particular ways, but they were given to build up the church, strengthen the church, minister in the workings of the church to edify, build up. Look at 1 Corinthians 8:1. We'll move you along a little bit. 1 Corinthians 8:1. Notice this, 1 Corinthians 8:1. And he's going to deal with the whole topic with regard to food and idols and so on here. But he says, now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Now, what does knowledge or can knowledge do to us? Knowledge puffs up. I know that, you know, type of thing. But what does love do? Yeah, love edifies. It's the building block. It's the tool. Love edifies. Nothing wrong with knowledge, but it so often gets in the way of the real purpose and intent with regard to it. But love is that which edifies. It has an action to it. It shows itself with regard to what takes place. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, since we're close by, I'll go there. Just get a few verses in mind and thoughts here and base what few things we're going to say upon the scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 8. Scripture says, for even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, Paul is an apostle, and I could do a lot of boasting about things, which the Lord gave us for, what were they given to Paul for? For the purpose of edification, of building up, not for your destruction. So given for the purpose of instruction for the building up of one another. And certainly that great need is always there. It's always nice to be encouraged. It's always nice to be thought of. It's always nice to be asked about. This ministry of encouragement and building up is a vital part of the local church. It's well above and beyond just a being at some type of gathering and just hearing someone say, well, that was awful, or isn't that terrible, or I'm sorry that's happening to you. But as we mentioned last week, so much more just to have somebody pause and say, well, let's pray together. I'll pray with you right now. Nothing builds up like that. A tender, compassionate time of ministering to another. And the only way we can do that to build up another is to be sure that we have been built up in the Scriptures, strengthened by them. We all need a time of help from another with regard to the whole ministry of encouragement for one another. And remind us of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 13, 10. He says, therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should be sharp, according to the authority which the Lord has given me. For why had the Lord given Paul this authority with regard to all that he had? Again, he tells us it's so that he could build up the church, encourage them, do the work of God among them. Speak those things and think those things and do those things that build them up. That gets the hammer out of the toolbox, not for destruction, but it gets it out for the building and moving ahead. Now, and speaking of moving ahead, we'll move us ahead to Ephesians chapter 4. We read there this morning, but I want to go a little further in the chapter as well at this time. Then we'll come back to the meat we'd read this morning. But Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, the 29th verse. The record of admonishing us and the words to us to build us strong so that we might do that which needs to be done for fellow believers as well as ourselves. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Grace to the hearers. We have a great task before us of edifying one another, and the only way we can do that, again, is ourselves. We need to be built up in the things of the Scriptures. So when the things of the Scriptures work in our hearts and lives, there's an overflow of it to want to minister and work in the lives of others. So when we think through the Scriptures, just briefly, if you just listen a little bit here, when we use the word build, or we just read just the word build in the Scriptures, in Acts examples, Acts 7:47, it says they built Solomon's temple was built. It's just using that word. The word build is just used literally doing the work to get the building together. We read in Luke 12:18 about the man who built bigger barns. Remember, he tore down some of the barns and built more barns, bigger barns. And that's one of my favorite verses to pick on some guys who are always building a bigger garage or something. I have fun with them. And but barns are building a bigger barn. It's just that. It was a building was going on, the building of it. And so we have edification in a picture word, a figurative word, that's to build a structure, to build a structure. And we're familiar with many words or verses where the word build is used. Remember, Christ said in Matthew 16:8, I will build my church. Not a figurative building, but a literal, we're the building, you as believers in Christ, each one is the church that makes up the body of the Lord Jesus, those who have believed on him. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, I just rapidly give a couple of verses. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, believers in Jesus are called God's building. You're called God's building. This building of God's is the nature of it is to grow. The nature of it is to grow. I or in the valley, in New York State, Route 80, I was brought up. I remember this girl got on the bus each morning, and I remember the man who got on at the next stop. Well, he's a man today. And as time went by, they got married, and they had a lot of kids. And they built a house along the road. And then a year or two later, they built an addition on the house. And a couple years later, they built another addition on the house. Then a few years later, they built another addition on the house. And then they built another addition on the house. And the house just got sprawled all out. Of course, today, you know what happens. Here, 40 years later, they're the only two in the house. And they got a lot of house. So I talked to him about it the last time I saw the gentleman. I said, man, you must have a lot of room to wander around in. He said, we do, but it's nice. You got a place for people to stay when they come. And we get everyone home once in a while. And he kept building and building and building. And that's a great reminder, you know, that us in our lives, we're never done being built to become the maturity of the faith. It speaks of a completion entering into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not speaking of some sinless perfection in any way. It's just talking about we're always growing. Always growing. God the Holy Spirit, the author of Scripture, uses his word to build a house, to impress upon us the importance of developing and always growing in our Christian lives and growing together. Help one another grow together in the things of Christ. You recall when we became a believer in Jesus? Can you recall that when you became a believer? You know, get it in mind. Think about it just for a moment. When you became a believer in Christ. And when you think about that, then remember. When you believed the message of the Bible about Jesus, and you were born again, and you remembered that you were one time born physically, and the life you lived, God said it was a life separated from him. You were an enemy of God's. And you were under his just condemnation and wrath. Separated from him. Do you remember? You became a believer in him. And at that moment, when you became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that very moment, a foundation of faith was laid in your life. And from that moment, your desire has been to build up a life on that foundation that identifies and glorifies God and identifies with all those round about who are believers. And then you identified yourself through immersion and baptism with Christ, death, burial, resurrection, and with fellow believers. Remember all that? You build up your life bit by bit in the things of the Word. Little things had to be pulled out of your life. That hammer had to be used to yank out some nails, some things that didn't belong. And the Lord had to put other things in that needed to be. Some of them come in some hurtful ways into our lives, but they're necessary for us. We're builders. We are builders. with regard to the Word of God building us up. Very obvious that a building always needs work on it. And we are among the first to say, my life needs some work in it, no matter how long I've been a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we would all agree that we have a God-given task as brought out of the Scriptures to edify ourselves, build up ourselves for the purpose of glorifying God and edifying others around us. So back to the background of the word edify, it means to build up. You read it in the Scriptures, edification, edify. Edifice is a house, a building. It means to instruct. Edify means to encourage and minister to ourselves, to someone morally and intellectually. It's to educate another one. We do it in gracious and kind ways, to train, to guide, all of the backgrounds to edify, and we know it comes to us from out of the Latin language and all the background, and you could get your little computer in your hand phone and punch in the word edify, and you'll come up with more than you want to read this afternoon with regard to it. But it's good for you. So edification is just that, to build up. And what are we doing? To build up ourselves in Christ and to be prepared and then to actually build up another in the things of the Lord Jesus. My wife writes lots of cards to people. And the purpose is to help and minister to them, let know we're thinking about them, and try to build them up. And perhaps you have the same type of a ministry. My wife teaches a ladies' Bible study. And it's to help those ladies who are along in life, or maybe not so far along, but their minds aren't maybe working as clearly as they might or they want them to. But it's to build them up. Edify them. She takes time to write the cards, to buy the right cards. She takes time to put together a lesson and a thought, and all because she wants to help them, build them up. And we can do the same one for another, moment by moment, with regard to even a sermon. I know a sermon is often looked like as a time to persecute the righteous and beat you up. Or other times it's thought upon as a, 20 minutes to resurrect the dead, that is, those who know not Christ, to come to Christ, and on, lots of things with regard to sermons. But sermons primarily are to exalt the Savior, they're to edify the believers, and they're to evangelize the sinner. That's what sermons are all about. They're not complicated. Sometimes speakers such as myself make it complicated, and we go on and on and on, and you wonder where he started and where what was this and that and so on. But the ministry is all about that as a local church. How is God being exalted? Giving money to send out Bibles in the literature. God's exalted as his word goes forth and the ministry he has for the church. And that of gathering together to see one another. There's that great desire in the heart. I remember when I came to Christ as Savior as a teenager, and I couldn't keep myself away from the church and the local believers. I had to be there to be fed, and as time went on and I grew and I understood, to help others, to feed others, to minister to them. And that great thought and ideas upon our minds from out of the Scriptures, where we are not only instructed that the major building blocks in the local church to build up another is a love and care for them, and where we learn as well that we we are not only just a part of the church in name, but it means there's a responsibility that we have. Well, we've said all that to bring you back to Ephesians chapter 4 and now really start the message. In brief form. Just want to apply that all to us here. When you've come back to here and think about Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to think, probably just going to move down to verse 13 for a few thoughts here this closing time. As a local church, we've been taught to minister by way of teaching, and the church is to teach, whether that's one-on-one or one in a group or a little handful or everyone together. The local church is a ministry of teaching. We've been taught, you know, that we're to go by Christ. Remember he said that, go ye into all the world. The emphasis is as you're going through the world, as you're going through your daily job, as you're going through whatever's before you for the day, as you're going, make disciples. And the emphasis is not so much on the going, though that's important, but the emphasis is to make disciples. To make disciples. And to go and make disciples. And then the step follows, of course, in Matthew in chapter 28, we're to teach those disciples. Teach them to observe the things of God. And so we have a lifetime before us of teaching. And then the scripture puts before us that we are to not be ignorant of God. And the cure for not being ignorant of God is to grow in the things of the scriptures that we have in the message. So you come down to our Ephesians and chapter 4. And let your eyes fall down around verse 13. And here we learn that edification is what edification produces in the church. You know, spring will be coming, believe it or not, sometime here, and you'll be out putting some seeds in the ground, and you expect the product to grow, that is, of the seed you put. You don't expect something else to grow. And so it is with regard to our lives. We learned that edification is to produce and bring forth fruit. And it's shown in our lives individually and as a unit together. And so when we finish up the topic there of verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And it might well be rendered for the work, not necessarily of the ministry, but the multitudes of things with regard to the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. How long do we keep at it? Keep for the work to go on for the edifying of Christ. And what's the results? Then how do we know we're doing what we are doing is bringing the fruit it's supposed to bring? Well, we do it till, see that in verse 13? Till we all come. How long do we keep edifying? How long do we keep at this ministry? Till we all come to the unity of faith, all that faith and its strength has to offer. Till we all come to a knowledge of the Son of God as we ought to. We all got a long ways to go there. Till we all come to a mature or perfect man that is growing in maturity to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How do we measure up to that standard that's put there in our building up one another? The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, to being like Christ. I know I have a long ways to go to be like Christ. There's going to be a lot of hammer work on me yet before I'm like Christ. But again, the heart's desire is to be there. Someone has said to me, and perhaps to you, why do you go to church so much? Oh, you go Sunday morning, you go Sunday school, you go Sunday night, you go Wednesday night, special meetings. You're always in church. And a couple of answers are, you know, well, number one, I want to be identified with who, them, Christ, what's going on. And number two, I haven't learned it all yet. I'm not what I should be yet. I'm not where I should be in the things of Christ yet. We ourselves are edified so we can edify others. It says, so until we come, he says, verse 13. I'll just drop your eyes down there to verse 14. Until we come to, you know, stability of faith and doctrine. He says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. We all have to be careful. We can get hung into things that sound so good and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That's why we edify ourselves to edify others, so we're not washed away, carried away, blown away in all that's about, just by the actually the trickery of men and the craftiness, deceitful plotting and so on here that's out to draw us away from the things of Christ. We learn that edification is to produce faith and knowledge of Jesus, maturity and growing up. It's so we'll be stable in the faith. And verse 15, we're edified so that we will be speaking the truth in love. We're not harsh, you know. In the toolbox, there's sandpaper, and if you get something like ought 80, you know, it's so rough it'll take the hide right off you. That's not what we use to minister to people with, you know. We use the double ought. That is it don't even look like it's sandpaper, but it does its job, and it works on a piece of wood. So speaking the truth, how do we speak it? That's the building block, he says, in love. May grow up in all things unto him who is the head. Here's the purpose of it, like Christ. Grow up like him. What have I done this last week to grow up like Christ? What have I done to be built up in him? How am I building up another in Christ? Verse 16. In Christ, from whom the whole body is fit together. It fits with all the other believers. So the whole church is growing together in love, and the love is increasing one with another. One writer put it this way, and I should have written down his name. It's not what I thought on, but he said edification is enlightening the ignorant. Well, that's me for sure. It's needed in my life. It's because just something we don't know about, and it builds us up. So for us, as we pull it together here, it means constantly, gradually gaining a living understanding of God. If I want to be built up in the faith, I must know God Christ better. And then I must, of those things that I have learned, live to walk with him in a way that pleases him. We often learn lots of wonderful, glorious truths of the things of God. but never take a step with regard to those matters. We are builders. We've been given all the building material, the toolbox. We've been given the know-how. This is a know-how of building up. But we've been taught by the master builder indeed, so that we might be built up, so we can teach others. By example, yes. By words, yes. And by both as well. We'll read 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Then we're going to have you, if you would be patiently listening to a little song my wife and I enjoy. It has been several years since we'd heard it, and we got a copy, and we said, I guess, I'll take that with me today, and it'll be the conclusion of the sermon. And let me read the verse, and then I'll tell you about the song. 1 Thessalonians 5, it's verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, where we are taught that we are to encourage or comfort one another, comfort each other, and do something else. What are we supposed to do? Edify, build up one another. Just as you've been doing. You've been doing it, he says. Keep doing it. Need to do it yet. How the church works in its ministry. Build up ourselves because we are weak in the faith, and build up others who need that as well. This little song, it's a simple one. It's called a tree song, and it's about how a tree grows, where it is, and what it brings forth, what it produces, and how we are wherever we're at. As believers in Christ are those to be growing and producing. When you listen to it, I'm going to ask you to think, have you ever heard this group sing that you're going to listen to? It's not me and my wife. That would drive you away. The tree song, that's all it is. It'll close our service here.
Well, we got roots. Good roots, you know, in the summer, winter, whatever. The tree, you're a tree, a picture of it from out of Psalm 1, right? And life growing up, wherever you are, there you not only are planted well and producing well, but it's that which influences others with the things of God. And let the Word of God influence you first, and then to work out to others. It is a kid's song. And yeah, you do lots of motions, or I call them commotions with them. But good learning for us. Anyone recognize the group? From a little place called Wormersdorf? I probably don't pronounce it right. Bunch of a dad and his sons. And a lot of songs, good stuff. I'm going to lead in prayer. We're going to be dismissed. Thank you, Father, for the time to be together. Thank you that your word is what is important to us, because you have opened our lives by your Spirit to believe on your Son. And now, Father, we can do that for which you intended us to be and to do, to glorify your name, to minister to one another, and to reach out with the gospel. Help us to do those three things this week, and might everything around them be that which points to Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. We're dismissed.